Welcome back to Bitches Brew, the podcast. My own little safe space for myself, most importantly, and other women of color who are also doing the work to lean into their feminine energy and just transition completely out of survival mode, out of their masculine energy, out of generational trauma, out of just showing up as someone that they don't feel that they can resonate with because it's different projections of themselves or just someone that they took on in order to survive. So, the last episode, well, really the kind of welcome back episode, I don't want to call it the first because the podcast really began back in 2019. I had just had my daughter and I didn't go too much into my situation, but I ultimately was staying with the family of the father of my child. He had just been, arrested when I was 8 months pregnant and was extradited out of the state literally the day that I was, the day of my last ultrasound. It was just supposed to be a checkup. They noticed that she, something with my placenta or something like that. So they admitted me into the hospital later that day and they were going to induce my pregnancy. But yeah, so I'm living with this family. Now, mind you, I'd obviously had met them. We'd been together for 2 years, but not, they're still just his family. They're strangers. And I'm raising a child in there and it's weird and uncomfortable. And I just wanted some actual connection with women that I knew and that I felt safe with. So I began to invite over some of the girls that I knew in Houston, that's where I was staying at the time, to just come over for some tea. I had got this really amazing teapot. It was vintage. It had a white, I don't know what you would call it, but it was glass and had this beautiful looped handle and an embossed flower on it. It was vintage and it was perfect. And I'm just literally when I bought it, I thrifted it from an antique shop. I just was like, I cannot wait to invite over someone for tea. And I was pregnant and I was imagining my new life. And then here I was with the baby and the life does not look anything like how I am, intended for it to be, but I still wanted to make the best of it. So I began, inviting over women that I knew in Houston over for tea just to, talk and ask them questions and connect and start a podcast. And so I've since removed all of those episodes, but I've decided that I'm going to put together an archive episode where I just kind of pull some of my favorite parts of the conversations into one episode. I got to speak with a few people from Houston at the time. I also got to speak with women outside of the country, which was really amazing. I spoke with this girl from Paris, and I also spoke with this girl from Belgium. And I still kind of here and there keep in touch with both of those women through social media. They're amazing women. I will meet them one day, and I'm just really glad they agreed to speak with me and share their perspective, from across the country. So to continue to expand on, what this is, and just really, I realized recently that, as a reflection of God, in no religious sense whatsoever, being of service is just the kind of pinnacle of what you can do as you're here. And I've since taken a turn where I realized I'm actually really selfish with the way that I show up these days. I actually don't want to be of service, I'm feeling. And I know that it's a response to, it's a form of protection because I was so I overshared. I overpoured. I poured from an empty cup and then called myself, you know, being resentful at the end of the day because I didn't have much to give back to myself. And so now that I have realized that and held myself accountable and you know, and being responsible for that, I realized that I still have work to do. I still have work to do, and I still have boundaries to implement and actually uphold and honor for myself first and foremost. And until I can like successfully do that, I realize that like I just don't want to be of service in that way, where I'm kind of not from a like giving or informative place. I realize that I want to share and be of service as a vessel, as an example. So I'm just going to share my experience as I transition into softness and not so much be like, hey girl, you should try this, until I feel like it's safe for me to do so and I feel like I'm doing so with the right intentions. I realized that my so-called generosity, I swore I was so generous, and it's like, why isn't life giving back to me if I'm so generous? Well, it's because you're not really, or the intentions. Life doesn't give you what you put out. Life gives you what it gives you back, what we're, or as a form of reflection from your intentions. And I realized that like, if I'm giving, you know, with the subconscious, of course, intentions of like, love me because I gave you this, or be my friend because I gave you this, or constantly be in debt to me because I gave you this, it isn't really giving. You know, it's quite literally with the string attached to it. So it hasn't ever really left my hand. I haven't ever really given anything. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I need to be clear and check myself and know that I'm giving from a completely selfless place. So with that, I'm, you know, again, just want to share my experience and my point of view, and, you know, hopefully someone can resonate with that. So let's start from the top, as far as, you know, the base, or the really what began this brand was that I wanted, it's really the idea began in 2015. And I didn't know what it was. I just knew I wanted to create something that would provide freedom for women of color. That's it. That's all I knew. And then I was like, whatever the idea is, I'm sure it'll find me. Now, 2015, I was nowhere close to the person that I am today. Just mentally, emotionally, spiritually, I was just a full-on reflection of my trauma. So, and as you do the work, just the picture just becomes more clearer, because you realize that healing is literally just you letting shit go, you know, cleaning out your closet, quite literally, so that you can actually get some perspective and see things that have always been there but were buried beneath the dust, if you will. And so that idea eventually evolved, and fast forward to 2020, when I'm leaving Houston to move to Atlanta. And the friend of mine who actually encouraged me to come out to Atlanta, because the living situation at his family's home had blew up. It was no longer an option to stay there. And he's like, well, fuck it, just come out here and I got you and your daughter. And he put this bug in my ear, like, you need your own personal brand. And when you come out to Atlanta, it's like, it's inevitable for you to create your own brand. Everybody got their own shit. Even if it's just a fucking name and some t-shirts they got done at the swap meet, everybody got their own shit out here. So he kind of like put that bug in my ear before I came out here. And I was like, okay, then yeah, this is my opportunity to create something or just kind of fulfill that idea that I've had. Now, I had, before Atlanta was even an option, I had already started making bath teas and selling them from the house. Like, I just wanted to be independent. I wanted to do something with love. I wanted my own money. And so, yeah, I was making bath teas and obviously kind of put that on hold when I transitioned out here. I got rid of all of my stuff and was down to a carry-on, a single carry-on. Had like one outfit, one pair of shoes, and a diaper bag. Like, I really took a leap of fucking faith. So, and let me take the time to just acknowledge, like, bitch, wow. Like, you, I swear that I'm just like, oh, there's so much more that I want to do, so much more that I need, and you know, in my situation right now. But like, take a second to acknowledge how far you've came from where you were. Okay. Moment over. So right before that happened, I had decided, okay, I'm going to finally do candles. I have been wanting to do candles since I was pregnant, and like literally sent out a survey in regards to candles to all the women who had purchased something, or just to, you know, the girls that I knew. And so I'm like, okay, fuck it. I'm going to create a brand that has to do with tea and candles and just take it from there. And just kind of like continue to let the idea evolve itself slowly but surely until we get to last year where I finally like launched the brand. And even then, the idea still needed to fully come to life. Like, I compared the brand to an actual like living fetus, and you have to, you know, in the first or month two is when they first smile at you, and then month five and six is when they sit up, months eight and nine they start to stand, 1 year to like, you know, between the first year and the 18 months they're walking. So I literally paced it the same exact way and kind of checked in with the brand, and it really was evolving in that way, just how the ideas were starting to come to me and how it was making more sense. So this has been, so really the brand, that's why it isn't called a wellness brand, that's why it's called a lifestyle brand, because this is very autobiographical, truthfully. As I heal, the more that the vision of what this brand has the potential to be is, you know, the more that it shows up for me. So candles and tea and pillow mist is just the beginning, truthfully. And come along for the ride. So again, the lifestyle portion of it for me is just how coming to Atlanta and being in a situation where it's just my child and I, no car, no apartment, impossible to get a job because I don't even have the resources to get someone to watch her while I go on an interview. Or if I do get the job, it's hard as hell to get back and forth without a car. Or it's hard as hell to be able to afford daycare and getting back and forth to work and bills. And just realizing that it got to the point where we were living in an abandoned building. And in that moment, I had to sacrifice. I had to give it to God. I had to stay open and be vulnerable and let resources show up. And that is exactly what happened. And so, again, I'm just saying, like, my experience with having to choose letting go, having to choose to receive, which is ultimately what feminine energy does. Feminine energy receives, purifies, and circulates it multiplied. You know? And we'll get more into that as the episodes evolve, as far as like feminine energy and the power of it and all that stuff. But ultimately, today's episode is about, you know, giving yourself the green light. And so, again, as I've done the work ultimately since then, now this transition into my feminine energy happened shortly. No, it didn't happen after we got here, because we got here October of 2020. and was here a few months, left in December to go back to California because it wasn't working out, the living situation with my friend. Went to California, bought a car, made it work all the way up until like May. Drove the car back out to Atlanta, totaled it 2 weeks later. Someone ran into me. And so, you know, I'm in a position where I'm like, I went, I did the work, I got the resources. What the fuck? I'm back, carless, nowhere to stay. Just got fired from my job after 2 days. I was a supervisor at Hotel Coley. Got fired after 2 days because my kid got the flu and I had to leave on my first day. Like, what the fuck? But I surrendered. I surrendered and the resources showed up. I got a job at Delta shortly after. We had somewhere to stay. I didn't have a car, but you know, we weren't living that far from the airport, so it was easy to get back and forth. And I was making it work. And I say all this to say so this happened the following year in July, I'd say. Yeah, that was July. So July of 2021. Since then, I've been very intentional about doing the work to get into my feminine. God and the universe even sent me a man to help move this along, a Scorpio man who quite literally just triggered all of my daddy issues because he has this like daddy vibe about him. Obviously he's older. And so in a literal sense, but also in a spiritual sense, my just feeling safe with a man, having a man come in my life and wanting to provide for me, having a man come into my life and wanting to guide me, it stirred up a lot of shit for me. And I did the work. I loved those parts of myself. I released those parts of myself. I healed those parts of myself. And now here I am, you know, where I realized that like, okay, I can ask for what I want. Okay, I can be loved for exactly who I am. And you realize how the father wounds, they kind of just like wash over a lot of aspects of your life and how you regard things. And so I realized, I'm like, okay, the universe is my daddy. I can go to my daddy and I can ask for exactly what I want and know that I'll be provided for. And it's like, but then again, it stirs up all those, the insecurities that come with that. So initially, when it came to asking for what I want, in my head, in my subconscious, I'm like, okay, if the universe is my daddy, if God is a he, how do I trust that they're going to actually support me? How do I trust that I'm going to be guided? How do I trust that I'll be protected from anything that tries to harm me? Because my daddy didn't do any of those things. And so you have to do the work to disconnect emotionally from those experiences and actually get in the present moment and kind of like take your heart back from those moments to be in the present so you can rewrite your narrative. And that's what I did. And so now I'm really in a position where I'm actually ready to fully, you know, like I said in the last episode, let go of the idea that I have to work in order to receive. And by not working, I don't mean sit on my ass and just, you know, hope for the best. I mean really kind of like overexerting myself or being of service in a way that isn't authentic to me, or in a way that, you know, in a way that where I'm not truly valued or honored or get to show up as my full self in order to receive money. Now, I haven't been working, or like I said in the last episode, I'm not working on that job anymore, but I've been doing Shipt, which is literally just like grocery shopping or going to Target, and I make really good money from it. Like, truthfully, it's good money because I don't know about y'all, but I know how to hustle, and also I know, you know, if I'm going to get money, I need to go up north Atlanta. I don't do none of the rinky-dink downtown or below any, like, I don't do none of those shitty jobs where you get $6 for delivery. Like, Uber Eats, you're getting $6 per delivery. We have to do extra. We got to be extra as fuck to get a tip. Like, no thank you. I do shit where I get $10, $15 to just to go to Target, and then they tip me $20, $30 afterwards. So it's like the job is basically paying $25, $30 an hour. Like, it's good money, but it can be very exhausting because I'm driving a lot. Because again, I'm going up to like Canton and Cumming, Acworth, Alpharetta. So it's like 20, 30, 40 minutes sometimes in between the drives. And that's exhausting as hell. My feet swollen. You know, I don't get to connect with my kid. She's antsy. And it's getting to a point where it's like, I don't want to have to do that for money. I don't want to have to feel like I have to go bust my ass in order to assure that money is available to me to take care of my kid and I. Because that's really all it's coming from. It's a fear. It's a fear. And it's like, today I realize, I'm like, okay, so there's the fear of if I don't work, I'm automatically lazy. Anybody that would ever consider calling me lazy because I'm not working, or because I'm like, damn, I don't want to work for anybody. Because that's really what I'm saying. It's not that I don't want to work. I don't want to work for anybody. I want to work for myself. I want to run a business. If I'm doing something that I love, I can go days and days and days without sleep, without food, because I love what I'm doing. But working for somebody else, no. I don't want to do that shit. And anyone who would ever call me lazy for thinking that way is someone who, one, feels that way about themselves, and someone who's also delusional as fuck. Because if you told someone, hey, what if I told you you never have to go to work? All your bills are paid. All your needs will be met. You can travel. You can live the life you want to live, and you never have to clock in ever again. They would say okay. And they still, now again, they wouldn't be sitting on their ass. They would get up and they would be involving themselves in things they actually love. They'd take up a hobby. They'd, you know, do things and put themselves to work in ways that felt good for them and ways that actually served them first and foremost. And so when I said that out loud, I'm like, yeah, I don't need to be shaming or guilting myself into working because I'm afraid someone's going to call me lazy, first and foremost. And then secondly, the chicken don't come before the egg. Like, I can't say I want to live a life of leisure. I'm own a brand that's about leisure and rest. And I'm not resting, and I'm not allowing myself to lean into leisure because I, for whatever reason, don't think that it's possible. Or like on the subconscious level, obviously, because I'm claiming it. Excuse me. I'm saying the affirmations that I get to be myself and get paid, or I get paid to be myself, or I attract money just by being myself. I get to do what I love and make money from it. Like all these different affirmations. I can't be saying these things, but still be tricking myself into overworking myself because I feel like I'm the only way that money can show up. I got to get out of my own way. You know, I can't hold on to what I think is a buoy, a little, you know, floating in the middle of the ocean when there's an entire fucking yacht riding by saying it's gonna pull me up. I gotta let go of the supposed resource to actually take hold of what can show up for me. And I can't know when it's gonna happen. I can't know what it is. I have to let it show up when it shows up. And finally out loud, or said today out loud, like, I'm fucking terrified. And as a Black woman, sometimes that's literally the only thing between you and abundance is just admitting like, damn, I'm uncomfortable with that. Just admitting, damn, that makes me uncomfortable. Damn, I'm afraid. Because the moment that I say those words out loud, it's no longer like I'm no longer holding my breath and holding my mouth closed because I don't want to express how vulnerable I feel in this moment. And it then shifted how I was processing everything, because I was so irritable. And that's when I'm like, okay, that's when I need to talk to myself. I need to get to the bottom of it, because I can't be walking around irritable as fuck. Like that, you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I no longer have a tolerance or a threshold for hardness in my body, for tension in my body. I'm immediately showing up for myself emotionally. And that's abundance in itself. Being able to provide myself with things that I didn't grow up on, that I didn't grow up with, and not even physically, I'm talking emotionally. Being able to provide for myself emotionally is abundance, is a flex. Because anything outside of that is extras, is diamonds, is luxury, truthfully. Because I quickly realized that a lot of the things that I called myself wanting were all motivations from my inner child not having those needs met. But, you know, fast forward to I finally admitted to myself, I finally sit with it, let it be. And something clicks where I realize, oh, don't forget the presence of those insecure thoughts, the presence of those insecure feelings around, if I let go, I'll still be shown up for. If I decide to do my own thing and take up space, I'll still be able to receive. I'll still be taken care of. I'll still be loved. The presence of those insecure feelings means that the opposite is present too. It means that in those feelings of abundance, those feelings of I'm taken care of, those feelings of I don't have to lift a finger and I still get my needs met, those feelings of it's gonna happen, it's gonna work out, the money is there, all those feelings are present. And the opposite is like hanging on by a thread. It's kicking and screaming on the way out the door. The only difference is I have more experience with the insecure thoughts, so I recognize them more easily. But the moment that I shift my focus to the abundant thoughts and be okay with, this is new to me. That too, again, having to acknowledge and admit the vulnerability and the insecurity around it and be like, damn, like, I'm just new to this. I'm new to abundance. I'm new to thinking everything's gonna work out for me. It's new to me. You know, and then I used the analogy earlier where I was like, when you start a new job, you don't know. You don't, and not like it's like something that's like rocket science, but like you don't know how everything works yet. You don't know where things are stored. You don't know, you know, the flow when you're in a process that works for you yet. You don't know. But what happens? You go through training, you receive instruction. And as soon as I said it, I was like, there it is. Because that's my motto. My motto lately has been, no matter what, anything is possible. And that most importantly is possible because support, guidance, and instruction, and support, guidance, resources, and instruction will show up for me. And there it is. The moment that you are able to allow yourself to acknowledge that, like, hey, I don't know what I'm doing, but I still want to give it a try. I still want to make it happen. I still want to, you know, let it be. Then you remember, oh, okay, I'm not doing it alone. I'm supported. I have guidance. All I have to do is wait for instruction. And now it doesn't seem so daunting. It doesn't seem so overwhelming. I'm not doing it alone. I'm not stepping into this new space or this new realm alone. And even if I am, the people who are meant to, you know, accompany me on this journey, people who are meant to bring me resources or bring me information or assist me or just love me, they'll show up. They'll show up. The day that I wanted to quit my job and was like, hold on, I'm gonna write it out for another week so I can get a full paycheck, I took time to sit down with my ancestors and nature. And what I heard was, the analogy with like, you can't hold on to the resources and the tools that you're using in this current space. And, or the reason that you feel so inadequate is because you don't want to feel the feeling of that newbie feeling with the new space. You're convincing yourself that, oh, what if there's not resources and tools in that new space that I go to? It's a way bigger space. It's a bigger house. It's a bigger warehouse, however you want to look at it. But that new space has so much more space in it. What if it doesn't have the tools that I need so I can do what I need to do? You're convincing yourself that's the reason you don't want to go, but really, you just don't want to feel insecure and inadequate because there's tools in that space that you've never used before. But the ones that you're using in this space now are worn out as hell. And that's the whole point. The tools in this space right here, they've done all they need to do. And it's time to move to the new space and trust that there are resources available in that new space. If they're not there when you get there, they're going to show up. And you have to trust that. You have to trust in yourself. You have to trust in the universe. You have to trust in the masculine energy of the universe and God in yourself. You feel me? And for girls like myself, my father was in the home, but he wasn't present mentally or emotionally because he was still dealing with his own trauma, with losing his mother when I was 5, with dealing with the, father never being in his life and having a whole nother man in his home and having other siblings that weren't a reflection of what he felt connected with. And I still have those daddy issues. Even with him being around, I still have those daddy issues. And it wasn't all peaches and cream either. Like I said, because he was very much in his trauma, he was very emotionally reactive. He yelled, he snapped, he was irritable. He never made me feel emotionally safe. I always felt like I had to be attentive to his emotions. And that if that isn't daddy issues, then what is? And that's what I'm saying. So when I realize that in order to really make some shit pop in this life, to really co-create with the universe, that I have to be trusted, I have to get out of my own masculine and trust in masculine energy outside of me to actually show up and just show up for me. That's work. And today I gave myself the green light. I realized that like when you're co-creating with the universe, you realize that what you want from it, what you're asking from it, it's asking of you as well. And it's like, it keeps pushing you. It's like you let the universe know what you want. It's like, oh, okay, bet. So it keeps pushing you into situations that get you to open up to the idea of its possibility more and more, to get you to recognize and acknowledge it. Because seeing is quite literally believing. Believing is seeing, and so forth and so forth. And what you believe in, you see it. Like, it just works together. And so I convinced myself that, oh, okay, I'm waiting for a green light from the universe before so-and-so can happen. But no, the universe is waiting for me to give it the green light. Is waiting for me to say, okay, I'm ready. I believe in myself. I believe in my ability, which is, as you know, a reflection of the universe, which means I believe in the universe. I believe in the universe's ability. I believe in God's ability. And so I'm really, and then for the first time, I felt the it's already done energy in my body. And that's what's been missing this whole time from all my manifestations. The big ones, the ones that I'm just like, ugh, why isn't it happening for me in a timely manner or at all? Is because I had never got to the it's already done feeling. I still was in chasing mode. I still was in desperation mode. I still was in, what do I need to do so you can give me what I want, daddy, mode. Who do I need to be so you can give me what I want, daddy, so you can love me mode. Like, no. The universe has let me know on many occasions, I don't need to do anything, be anything, change anything in order to receive from it, in order to be loved. And for the first time, that's finally true. I know for certain that I don't have to do, be, or say anything in order to receive, in order to be supported, in order to receive instruction from God, in order to get what I want out of this life. And with that, I encourage you, give yourself the green light. Give yourself the green light to lean more into your feminine energy and let life happen for you and let yourself receive. Give yourself the green light to make and be and create and experience what you want. Give yourself the green light to not do anything, to rest, to do something just for the sake of doing it, just for the pleasure of doing it, just for the sake of, you know, I want to, because I said so. So I leave you with that. Follow for more. Again, the archive episode is coming up. I also will be having my first guest. And thanks for joining.